Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my fantastic co-host and business partner, mind you, Al McDonald. Al, how's your day going so far?
It's going great, always on Podcast Friday. Really interested in jumping into today's conversation because it's a little bit different than maybe we do usually. And just the topic is of interest to me, so I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, me too. And I think, Al, you and I have both been down this route, both from a career perspective, but you know, you more so on the sporting side of the world as well. And that's, we'll dig into it. So with no further ado, today we're excited to welcome Mackenzie Mack Chilton. I put the Mack in there because I understand that's what your team calls you. So I might refer to you as that as we go forward. Is that okay, Mack?
Yeah, that's great. Nice to see you guys.
Well, Mack is the director of coaching at Arcora. And I have to tell a bit of a story. So I'm at a CGIB event a couple of months ago now. And I first came across Arcora at this event. And truth be told, I hadn't heard about your team yet. And I learned you had expanded into coaching. And Al and I have both worked with coaches in the past. And I thought, okay, this is really interesting. And in the spirit of getting to know Arcora, I got to know the team a little bit. I had some great chats with Sophia. They had set me up with a couple of sessions with one of your coaches. So I've done one session.
Okay.
It's been great. I've got two. I was hoping to get three, but you know how life is and things get in the way. I had to reschedule. I was hoping to get all three in before this chat so I could really kind of give, but one session has been really good so far. I definitely saw value in it, much like I did when I first did coaching with someone else. So I'd love to just jump in and explore this whole world of coaching and what your company is doing. So good?
Sounds great. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So your journey began, and I'm talking about Arcora, with leadership coaching. But today, you've built this nationwide coaching platform. Was there a defining moment that set the team down this path? And how did reality compare to the expectations so far?
Great question. So Arcora itself has been around for 15 years. We just did a rebrand in October. So we were previously Arete HR.
Ah, see, that's why. That's why. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, you might have heard of us. If not,
Arete, I've definitely heard of. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have been around for a long time. We've offered counseling, HR guidance, and legal support to Canadian businesses all across Canada, including Quebec, which I feel like I have to flag. But they didn't have coaching. So there was two other folks, Matt and Donna, that had the idea before my time to kind of bring in this coaching, this leadership coaching as part of the support that we could offer to businesses in Canada for the employers and for their team. So I've been with Arcora for a year and a half, and it has been a wild ride, like in the best way possible, because I'm not actually doing any coaching really, right? So I'm building something, which is very different than any work I've done previously. So it's a totally different skill set for me, but expanding a program across Canada is so exciting.
Mackenzie, would you consider yourself an intrapreneur then? Because obviously you didn't start the company, you're one of the founders, but as you just explained, you're excited that you're not necessarily coaching right now, but you're building something. And I often talk about entrepreneurs, and some people have heard of the term and some people haven't. And I'm very fortunate that within our team, we do have people who don't necessarily want to, you know, go down that founder route and some of the things that are involved with that, but are very excited to kind of put their stamp on something and help the company grow and say, at the end of the day, I helped build that out. And here's how exciting and successful it was.
Yeah. And I love that word. Not a lot of people know what it is. So I have been a founder previously. So I understand kind of both worlds. And that was something that was really important to me when joining the team, was that feeling of autonomy and how can we grow something together, but still have that feeling of being an entrepreneur and being able to put forth ideas and get creative. So yeah, definitely identify with that term.
I figured.
Matt, coaching has seemed to taken off a little bit lately. What do you think is behind that push and more of embracing having someone to talk to that might be outside of the company? Like, where's that coming from, do you think? What's driving that trend?
I think that's a great flag. And it's definitely true in Canada that we're starting to see more and more of it. It's been around since the 80s. So it's not a new kind of idea. I work with a lot of clients privately. They're all American because they pay for everything. So for them, they're just like, sure, right? But what we're seeing in Canada now is that it's an added benefit to keep your A players. So it's supportive for folks. But also, if you show me two companies and they have this package and, you know, on paper, they're kind of the same, but company B has coaching, to me as an employee, that really shows that they care about my growth, right? They care about having that third party so I can focus on my personal professional development, and that is important to them as a company. And I think we're really seeing it's a competitive landscape to get those A players. And having coaching be a part of that package is something that a lot of companies are doing now.
So are you seeing it mostly still at the executive level? Are you seeing it kind of get pushed throughout the company? What's the trend been?
Yeah, we see it currently in kind of two main areas. So for sure at that executive level, because it's, you know, it can be lonely at the top. Mm-hmm. You have the weight of the world on your shoulders as the business owner or in the C-suite. And it's amazing to have that third party to talk about strategy and things with. But then we're also seeing it at that management or new to leadership level. So folks that were individual contributors are now shifting into a leadership role, and their manager doesn't have time to teach them how to run a team, right? And that's a totally different skill set than what you were probably doing before.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kind of seeing those two main areas.
Yeah. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some setbacks that you've seen in your own career? Like, every leader goes through them, and I'm sure that you're helping people deal with them in the coaching world, but maybe you can talk a little bit about something that happened in your journey and maybe how that affected where you've ended up now.
Sure. Yeah, I'll tell you a bit about the story of how I discovered coaching in a way. So I actually have a master's in forensic psychology. And so I'm a trained therapist first, got my dream job after university. And I was working in the justice system out here in BC. So working on probation and parole for medium to high risk violent male offenders. That was my niche. And I loved it. Then our funding got cut. And I had niched down so much, you know, it's like a pretty specific population to work with. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I hired a career coach. And that was kind of my first intro to coaching. But that was a huge setback for me personally, because, you know, I'd gone to school for 8 years for this role and then done it for 3, absolutely loved it, and had to make that huge career pivot.
I'm going to bet, based on the training that you had and just understanding the people's psychology, that maybe that pivot, although I'm sure it was very intimidating at the time, worked out well.
Yeah.
You know, I just envision that when you understand people and you know how to deal with people, and you've been put in a situation where you're dealing with what sounded like some of the, you know, toughest situations, mm-hmm. that maybe that pivot turned out to be not so bad.
Yeah. Turned out to be exactly what I wanted. You know, I'm interviewing coaches right now for our network, and so many of them, when I ask about their journey, they say coaching found me. And then they experienced coaching as part of their career. They loved it so much, they became a coach. And that's a very similar story to what happened to me. So if we think of coaching, it's future focused. It's very similar to positive psychology or solution focused therapy. So I really saw the overlap and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I had never really been exposed to it before. I came from a research psychology academic background, and coaching wasn't a part of that. Now a lot of universities, so UBC out here, they offer a coaching program. So it's starting to get more into the academics of it, but I just wasn't exposed to it previously.
My own experience with coaching Mac, and I've only done it once, Al has a little more experience with it than me, but I felt that when you're in your business or you're in your own life, you can only see what you can see. Mm-hmm. And I found one of the biggest values I've got out of coaching was not that they necessarily knew all the answers, but they'd allow me to talk through the issues and challenges and excitement, quite frankly, and opportunities that were in front of me. But I felt that my coach was able to see around those corners mm-hmm. and point things out that I couldn't really see until he pointed them out.
Right.
And that's where I got a lot of value. And I've heard so many people talk about the value of coaching. Most of the executive leadership teams that I work with have either worked with a coach or are working with a coach or have definitely said to me, said, if you're going to be successful in this role, no, you have to work with a coach. And I know Al has had some extensive experience, but I'll take it away from career coaching for a second. Mm-hmm. And then I will come back because I do have a path I want to go down with you because I've got a question.
Yeah.
But I would love for Al to share with you a story because Al used to coach sports for his kids. And Al, I didn't prep you for this, so hopefully this is okay. But Al told me a story, because his kids are grown now, about a child that he had coached that had come back many years and made a comment about the impact that that coaching had with them. Do you know the story I'm talking about,
Al? Yeah, absolutely.
I would love for you to share that, and I think Mackenzie would appreciate that as well.
Yeah, happy to. So, yes, I coached my kids when they were younger, and mostly at the younger age, and it's hockey. And one of the things that I always emphasized was, you know, skating. These are young kids. If you're going to play hockey, you got to learn how to skate. So I really focused a lot on skating. You never know what the impact's going to be, right? But anyway, the story that you're referring to, Robin, obviously I've kept in touch with some of the parents. And this particular person, they had gone down to play hockey in the States and currently playing for it. And the comment was their coach said, wow, one of the things you're really good at is your skating. Like your skating is really great. And she said, that's because I had a coach way back when that just emphasized it. And that's where I picked it up. So it was really nice to hear that. Hey, yeah. Whether or not it's true, I mean, I'm sure she's
had some
very good coaches after me that emphasized it too. But it was very nice to hear that.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, I think that's very impactful. And again, I see that happening in sports. Like I get stories like that, but I also hear people, you know, Al, I mean, the way you talk about your coach and
absolutely
the impact she's had on your life is very impactful. So I think this is something really great to be talking about. Mackenzie, in my world, I'm a benefits consultant. I'm having discovery calls all the time, whether, you know, it's with new clients, with existing clients, and everyone is looking for that edge.
Right.
What does the conversation look like? Because this is very new.
Mm-hmm.
What does the conversation look with the chief people officers, with the CEOs about, hey, this is something that's you might not have heard of from a benefits perspective.
Yeah.
But again, you're looking for that edge because I loved what you said. If I'm looking at company A versus company B, mm-hmm. and I'm in that leadership position and I have the opportunity for coaching at this one and all else is equal, that's where I'm going.
Right.
So what does that conversation look like?
Yeah, I think when we're talking to leaders, it also speaks to like the value that they are expressing to their employees, right? So by offering coaching, you're saying your development is important to me, right? And so you're really putting that care onto, like you're putting your money where your mouth is, essentially. The other piece is that the sports analogy is perfect because we all grew up playing sports in one way or another, right? And so whether it's just through PE class that we had to take, or if you actually, you know, went outside and did it, but we've all had some exposure to sport. And it's such a good parallel because a lot of folks might think that there needs to be an issue, right? When in fact, we're just trying to improve a skill. There could be absolutely nothing wrong, but you want to get better at whatever your skating is, right? For the workplace.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so we're seeing that a lot, that once people are really in the program, they're like, oh, this is where I can grow. It doesn't need to be there's a problem that I need to figure out. It can be, but it is really supportive for both of those areas.
Yeah, I love that.
So you were talking about interviewing coaches. So you are growing this company. What are the challenges with scaling this, but staying true to that coaching philosophy that you've built with your team already. Like, how do you do that? What are the challenges you're facing right now?
Yeah, so scaling is something that is, again, like I always see it as an exciting opportunity. And it's, you know, we have a small but mighty team at Arcora. So I'm the director of coaching. We have a great sales department and I have support from other teams. But I would say like just the sheer interest that we're getting from coaches. So, you know, I have so many applications that I am going through is I think that's probably like something that, yeah, that's just something I didn't really expect is, you know, we didn't put a formal ad out, but there are a lot of amazing coaches that are applying for these platforms because they see it as a way where they can just show up and coach, right? So we're taking care of, if you run your own business as a coach, you have to deal with marketing and bookkeeping and all those other kind of pieces where if you're part of our Cora network, we're giving you referrals and you can just show up and do what you're amazing at. So because of that, we're able to really get a lot of high expertise, amazing coaches that are across Canada. Yeah.
Mac, I wanted to circle back just to something you said before, and I think it's actually going to lead quite nicely into the question I want to ask. But you talked about, and I'm going to say a lot of the mindset is that coaching is maybe something reactive, that, like you said, oh, there's a problem, so now we have to fix it.
Right.
But what I'm hearing is there's a little bit more, and rightly so, to proactive. You know, there doesn't have to be a problem.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think that still people struggle with is when there's something wrong and then you can fix it, you can see the result. Mm-hmm. Whereas if there's something that's not so wrong, it's tougher to see, you know, that delta, that change, and how the coaching in this case actually affected it. So this is a long lead in. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, but I also just want to, from the bigger picture, like I just want to talk about or hear your idea of where this industry is headed, but maybe related to the difference between proactive and reactive.
Yeah. Lots of questions in there. So
there was a lot. Sorry.
Pull me back if I don't answer something. So let's tackle the reactive versus proactive first, right? And I think when it comes to businesses offering that, their leadership either sees that it's a benefit or has experienced coaching themselves and sees that it's a benefit, right? So they, it's no question to them that this is a proactive approach. And companies often put investment into people, tech, or process, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is the companies that are successful don't forget about the people, right? If you ask companies that are kind of floundering or they're struggling, I'd like to look at where they're investing. And I bet that they're not investing enough in their people, right? So there is that kind of misconception too that coaching is for soft skills, right? So it's for communication. It's for, you know, I think some people have this like kumbaya kind of image of what coaching is, but actually it's strategy, right? It is for both, like emotional intelligence, communication, those things are very important and, you know, would probably fall under the soft skills, but it also can really support with strategy and goals and that forward motion, right? So again, that's the difference of, do leaders get it, right? Do they see that this is going to help them in the long term? And they can get over that hump of the investment that might be the barrier that they're feeling. And so I think that we're seeing a shift in that, that leaders understand and that they can see the result. And so to speak about the results is you're absolutely right. It can be hard to see a change directly, right? But I will say that the way we're training our coaches to operate is to have those goals so that you as a client, when you're working with your coach, you'll be able to see directly the growth that you've had, and you'll be able to report that back to your team and your manager. But the other thing that we're doing that's really important to us at Arcora is we're collecting data. So we have an in-house data scientist, Dr. Mark. And so we have those pre, you know, where were you at before you started coaching? And we're measuring it along the way so that we can not only show the effect of coaching, but also bring that research to the industry, because there really isn't a lot, especially in the platform space, of research about change and a lot of data that we're giving. So we want to make sure that we can support just the industry of coaching as well with some of that research.
You know, I think you brought up some great points there. And you said still that image of the kumbaya, just, you know, sitting around in a circle and just all having a good time. And I think there is still some of that where, again, it is hard to measure those results. So the fact that that's something that you guys are leaning into, obviously, I think that'll make a big difference.
Yeah.
So, Mac, let's focus on you for a second, because I got some great advice from someone who was actually on the podcast quite a while ago. And she said, I always want to find out more about the person behind the role, right?
Right.
So for you, clearly a successful person, you know, you niche down. I love the story. That's the first time anyone has ever told that specific story on the podcast. So that's new for us. So that's great.
Yeah.
But for you personally, can you talk about, is there 2 to 3 traits that you've kind of realized in yourself or that you've developed that have led to the success that you're seeing now?
I can. And it's kind of like an ongoing joke currently within our team that I'm really good at boundaries. Right. And so I will say, no, I can't do that. And I feel like a lot of people with cross-functional teams, they're people pleasers. They want to make sure that everything is getting done and there's a sense of urgency for things. And so, for example, this last month, I've really been focused on making sure I can find us amazing coaches and onboarding them and making sure that the network feels like they're having a really good experience. And so in one of our meetings, I said, don't need me for the month of March, basically, unless it's super urgent. And so that's something I think that has taken a long time for me to get there, because of course, I want to help people. Of course, I want to do things. But once I realized if I'm saying yes to something, it means I'm saying no to something else. Right. So you can't always just say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We have that saying around our office, too. And I have Al to thank for that one. Well, I'm enjoying this conversation, but we've arrived at my favorite part of the episode, which is when Al, of course, asks his signature question. So we threw it at you last minute. So sorry for doing that. But if you've had time to think about it and you're comfortable, I'll let Al take it away.
Go for it.
So I would love to, but I do want to go back to what you just said. So that works? Like just saying no?
Well, I have a great team. So they know.
I'm kidding.
Or not right now. There's different ways to say it, right? Not right now.
I've tried that before. Don't need me for the month of March.
I say it in a joking manner. Of course I'm there if they need me. But, you know, I have had to say, like, I can't do any more special projects and things like that. But, yeah, not right now. Try it. Let me know.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to report back and let you know. All right, let's jump into it. So, yes, a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So maybe through your work at Acora, or maybe it's through something you're doing on the personal side. Can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
I'll talk about what we're doing at Acora. I mean, well, the first thing I was going to say is I have a niece and nephew who I am just absolutely obsessed with. So anything I can do, but truly they are teaching me more because everything's so cool. They're 4 and 1. And like, I took my nephew on the bus and he's like, this is so cool. And I was like, you're right. This is so cool.
And what are their names, just so they hear it on the podcast? Because I want them to listen to this, hopefully.
Yeah, Noah and June. I'll make them listen to their first leadership podcast.
All right. Shout out Noah and June. That's awesome.
But in terms of what we're doing at Acora, this has been a through line in all the coaching work I've done. We spend a lot of time at work, right? We spend 40 hours at least at work. That's a third of our life. That's a long time. And so imagine if everybody loved what they did and was thriving and flourishing at their jobs. I truly think the world would be a better place because of that. So I think that that's always been something underlying personally for me in the work that I do. And I just know that we're really aligning to that at Acora. And so that's the trees that I'm planting.
That's a great mindset. And you're absolutely right. Like I am still surprised when I hear people who say they don't like their jobs, and you kind of wonder, well, why not just go out and find something different? I know that's easy to say, but to your point, think how much happier you would be and think how much, you know, more productive people would be if they at least enjoyed doing what they're doing every day.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. When Al's driving into the office every day, he thanks his lucky stars he gets to see me. So he is really speaking the truth here. So, Mackenzie, usually we meet people before we hit record. Today was the first time we met. Mm-hmm. And I am pleasantly surprised because I didn't know anything about you, but I've enjoyed getting to know you better. And I'm sure there's future conversations here. I want to thank you for jumping on with us because this has been a real pleasure. For listeners that are interested in learning more about what you're doing at Arcora, what's the best way to reach out?
Check out our website, arcora.ca, and then connect with me on LinkedIn if you have any questions about coaching. I'm happy to answer them. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, that does it for today's episode. To me, this was really enjoyable. I hope it was for you too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or join the conversation on LinkedIn. Saad here again. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.